TNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin. You got, oh, man, Corey Majors.
My man.
And, of course, the famous Alec Medford. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. How the heck we doing today? How is everybody out there in Radio Land? 877-881-1053.
I'm great. Feeling very confident today in our show. I'm excited about it. I texted you on Friday. I was like, dude, that show was awesome.
Hell yeah.
Alec, you did great on Friday. I'm proud of what this show puts out there, and I hope the Tolos are proud as well to go tell other people about the show, to listen on our absolutely free Odyssey app.
Mm.
It costs you nothing. You do have to sign up sometimes. But
that's free.
Yeah, that's free too, so don't worry about it. So I'm doing great. It's a good Monday to get this thing rolling. I don't even remember the last time I worked on a Monday.
Huh.
Alec, how about you?
I love how every time you throw it to me to say how I'm doing, Corey leaves me with something that's actively altering my brain chemistry.
Sure.
But no, I'm doing great. I got back in the routine of hitting the gym before the show. I took last week off and was going to the gym after the show. So I'm like amped up. The caffeine is running just amazingly through my veins right now. I could run through this glass wall right now and I'd probably be unaffected. I'm feeling great.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Man, that's
double pain too.
That is the level of excitement I was hoping for as we start with our brand new Olympic segment, The Greatest Snowman. So go ahead and give me cut number one, because there was a lot of great stuff, and I know we're going to play the goals and everything like that, but here is the man that we also have to appreciate this morning.
There's Mitch Marner. Marner across the net. Oh, Taves had a wide open goal. Put it through the crease.
That was Connor Hellebuck, who, look, man, I know come the playoffs, he's a rival, but he was freaking fantastic yesterday.
Well,
and really good throughout the tournament.
I allowed yesterday the song to be played. Today, Kevin, I do not think that we should be able to play that song because it's a one-day-only kind of thing.
Which song do you mean?
No.
Yeah!
Why is Aiden out there bobbing his head to this song like he's excited?
Gosh!
It's a ridiculous song. All right, that's why. But
Hold on. Did you say it's a ridiculous song?
Ridiculous song.
Which song are you? That's Connor Hellebuck.
It sounds like there's one person in that song saying different words. The dude was amazing.
It sounds like he's saying a different word. Well, hold on. I think we need an instant replay then and pretend he's saying a different word in your mind. That's Connor Hellebuck.
Once you start to like mentally hear it, you're like, oh,
hey, once you win the gold medal,
go for it, buddy.
There's
one of the players, he was turned around in the line and he was talking to somebody either in the stands or on the staff. And he said, I'm getting effed up tonight.
Yes.
He was saying
it over and over,
and I was like, oh, yeah. And he deserves that. And then they get to go to the ceremony, the closing ceremony, all hammered like that. Great stuff from the U.S. men's team. And, Kevin, I got to give a lot of credit on that goal. I know Jack Hughes is like the golden boy. He scored the goal. He's got, you know, half his teeth are missing in the front from the slash
man
to the jaw.
That makes it all the more impressive too, right?
Yes, of course. Yeah, I mean, he looks hockey. You know, he looks like gritty hockey and American's brand of hockey. And we'll get to that in just a moment too. But I know he was sitting there and he was very sad because he thought he gave up the moment when they were on the power play and then he did the same thing and now Canada's on the power play and he's like, crap, I could have screwed everything up.
Right.
Then he gets redemption in this moment too. But we got to give Zach Werenski his credit. Zach Werenski was the dude. So Connor McDavid decides, I'm going to be a hero. I'm going to take on three American players at one time, and obviously it's going to go in because I'm Connor McFreaking David. And he gets stuck, not able to get back and defend a three-on-three situation, and the puck goes to MacKinnon. Werenski stands him up, just stands him straight up, steals the puck, delivers it to Hughes perfectly, and Hughes buries it. an amazing moment. Give Werenski his credit too for being able to do that in that moment as well. Man, that was awesome. Awesome game. Just a blast of a game. And America built this team specifically around Connor Hellebuck because they knew their strength. No.
I didn't even do anything.
Dude, you don't want me to leave in the first segment?
He's
like, get out of here, dude. They built it around Hellebuck. And they said, we're going to be able to defend with the best of them. No matter what, we're going to be able to stop pucks. And it was a good game.
I hope this is not the case. That's it. From the 214, I'm turning off the fan today in protest of this song.
See,
I think you should fan even harder today. I liked leading into the game. You had Brady Tkachuk. He's like, look, man, there's hatred there. They've been the top dog. They've been the best for a bunch of years, and we want to be in that position. But perhaps the most work outside the rink was being done by the state of New York. Did you see what their governor did? The governor pulled back the state's enforcement of alcohol service hours so you could celebrate this game. So the game started at 7:10. It would have been 8:10 in New York. They pulled it back and allowed New York to start alcohol sales at 6 a.m. yesterday so you could pregame for the gold medal game and then go ahead and drink and everything like that during the game. So props to the state of New York for being like, hey, big sporting event, you want a drink.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make sure we get that done.
Especially at the airports.
You do like to drink at the airport.
Airport drinking is the best as long as you're flying away. You don't want to stop and then get a drink before you go home. Like, that's not, so you want to,
okay.
As long as you're going somewhere else, it's okay. So that's nice. Good job, New York.
Yeah, agreed.
That is a very, that's a very American of them.
Yes.
You want to drink some more?
Yeah, exactly. Now, no Sidney Crosby.
Kill that liver so that our insurance and our medical system.
Oh, man.
Back to you, Kevin.
Okay. Whew. All right. So what I can tell that you really want is you want all of the different vibes for winning the game,
sure, yeah,
right?
Let's
so
enjoy it.
As you said, Jack Hughes scored the Olympic winner after losing two teeth. So let's go to the Canadian call. Cut number 7. This is how they reacted to losing their sport.
Trying to work it here. The game it in. Stick check by Hellebuck. Now Werenski slips it ahead. Almost turned over. Now almost a 3-on-1. Back was McKinnon in front. Shot scores. Jack Hughes has won it for the United States.
Now, I would play more.
It's actually a really good call.
It was
a very unbiased, very Canadian of them. Very
That's
unbiased.
Debatable.
Call. What do you mean?
You
had the same level of excitement for every moment of the game.
Definitely did not. He was way more jazzed up when Canada might score.
It was the same level of excitement as he had in the very first moment
United
of the
States. Game. And then I would play the rest of the audio for you, but he does not speak again for 62 seconds after that goal. And yes, I watched the entire thing and timed it out. All right.
62 seconds of silence.
Nothing.
Actually, I like that. That explains the moment.
He's taking the layout all the way. So let's go to cut number 6. You liked Canada. Let's see if Portugal can top the call.
É por isto, é.
Atenção aos Estados Unidos, possibilidade 2 contra 1, mas muito bem aqui a ação defensiva. Ainda sobra para os Estados Unidos, vai ser o golo e é
golo! Já está!
Está quebrado o jejum de 46 anos. Os Estados Unidos voltam a vencer uma medalha de ouro.
And then they kept talking, they were not silent.
What was that language again?
Portuguese.
That sounded like a lot of different languages at once, but I don't speak many languages, so what do I know?
How many languages do you speak?
4. Oh, 0. 1.
Wait.
I thought you were going to ask a different question. I was prepared to ask that question.
Okay.
And so yeah.
All right. And then.
I got lost there.
You get cut number 5. This is the NBC and Peacock broadcast of an incredible moment.
And it's Werenski. Now Jack Hughes puts it around the car. The
with numbers. Rocket across it comes. Jeff Hughes wins it. The golden goal for the United States. For the first time since the 1980 miracle, the United States takes the gold.
That was I woke up at 7. Looked,
specifically for this purpose?
Yeah, looked at like around 7:30. I wasn't watching until the second period.
Okay.
Because first period, Kevin, really is useless. If the channels change during that, who cares, you know?
Huh.
But the second and third periods in overtime for this, very important. This was, I love this description. It was an NHL game.
Sure.
On steroids.
By the way, they made reference to that. I know you said first period, meh, but the announcers made reference to the officials. They were like, these are NHL officials. So I could see how you might not get a whole lot of penalty calls in this game.
Dude,
and then you got two huge ones.
The speed, the crispness of the passes, the defense that was played on both sides. Like, that was watching exceptional hockey. And they knew what was on the line. And so we talk about how the speed just goes up a level.
Right.
Everything just seemed a little bit different. And that's what I liked so much about watching this game was how high level the play was between the two teams. And this is the Brian Ray, our friend, he hops on the show from time to time, Kevin. The strength of the team was always their goaltending and blue line. They had to hang on for dear life at stretches of this game.
They did.
But they were built to hang on for dear life in stretches of the game. That's why Robo wasn't on this team. Because the style that the Tkachuk boys and the Hughes, the style they play with, was exactly how that fight was intended.
Yeah, I think Robo could have hung just fine. But it's going to be hard to argue with the construction of
gold.
This roster because, yeah, they won gold. It's the first best-on-best competition that they've won since 1996 for the Tkachuks. Their dad, Keith Tkachuk, won silver with Team USA in 2002. But let's talk about that penalty kill. The United States went 18-for-18 on the penalty kill, including shutting down that 5-on-3. And this is like, you saw it after they already had the power play, and then there was another moment, you're like, oh, F. And I thought for sure that 5-on-3 was going to cost us. But again, penalty kill. Connor Hellebuyck was amazing.
Somebody just pointed out, Connor McDavid on a 5-on-3, how do you stop him?
I don't know, and I saw it.
You got Nate MacKinnon over in the corner just getting ready to bury like that thing. We've seen it too many times.
That still picture of how that was not a goal is amazing.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Now, speaking of amazing,
I got chills right now just thinking about it.
After the game.
Mm.
After the game, I know like it's already an emotional situation, but you could see the emotions amped up even further. They are carrying around Johnny Gaudreau's jersey.
I teared up.
Yeah, I get it. And then when his kids went into the photo, those were all emotionally affecting. But for me, I missed when they went to his widow. I missed that shot for whatever reason.
I saw that. Yeah.
But I saw when they went to his parents and they're skating around with the Gaudreau jersey. And you could tell how much like that meant to them in that moment. So if you remember, I know this a couple of years ago, Gaudreau and his younger brother Matthew, they were struck by an SUV while they were riding their bikes and they were both killed. Gaudreau would have been probably on this Olympic team. He had just been at the World Championships the spring before his death. And then they bring out the kids. The kids pose in, you know, the championship photo, and I totally get how everyone would be in the feels during all of this.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. Like, it got me. It got me immediately. And I really appreciated that much more, considering that it, like, took 2 hours to give all those plushies to the second and first place teams.
Was that MacKinnon who also wanted to punt that that stuffed animal to the moon, which, you know what? I'm glad that they followed up on how stupid that was. We talked about that on Friday, on and off the air. Oh, yeah, here's your medal. Here's an equivalent stuffed animal. Like, who cares?
I do. Somebody asked this, and this is an interesting question. Anybody else think it was great that Otter got that rest time? I feel like it would have been harder on him mentally if he came up short during the gold game.
Yeah.
But now, don't you feel like Connor Hellebuyck feels like he's superhuman and invincible? Like, nothing is going to stop me.
True, but on the flip side, don't you think Connor McDavid now that he'll be named the best player for a tournament he loses because he was named the Olympic tournament MVP and they lost. Remember, in 2024.
The perennial bridesmaid.
Yeah, he won the Conn Smythe Trophy in 2024 and they also lost the Stanley Cup final. So Connor McDavid just might end up being the greatest player who never won anything of consequence. But, like, I will say this. It's incredible to see how fast he is.
Yeah, dude.
Like, when he had his breakaway, you're like, oh, because he's so much faster than everybody. That acceleration, even when he has the puck, is freaking incredible. But guess what? It didn't matter because they lost. And there was one fella. He stopped 41 of 42 shots. That set a new Olympic record for the most saves by a goalie in a men's gold medal match with NHL players. I don't know if I can totally remember what that goalie's name was.
That's Connor Hellebuyck.
Yeah, Corey!
I'll give you today.
That's fair.
I'll let you guys have today because we didn't get to celebrate it yesterday in the same way. So
hey,
for one day only, y'all can enjoy that.
That is the best possible outcome I could have gotten out of this.
Because America won.
Hell yeah! We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, I probably won't play the song. From Javonte to Logan Wilson and perhaps Jalen Ramsey, there's a lot happening with the Cowboys next on The Fan.
I formation behind Prescott. Williams the deep back. Hand off Williams coming right. There's a block. Williams tiptoeing through traffic. Williams to the pylon. Touchdown, Cowboys! Touchdown, Javonte Williams!
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. A lot happening in Cowboys world over the weekend. I feel like, of course, we need to start with this Javonte Williams discussion. 3 years, $24 million with $16 million guaranteed, so I can easily see how it breaks down into a two-year $16 million deal. We were $1 million off in average per year. We said maybe we thought 3 for $21 million. It comes in, and also $1 million off on guaranteed money. But it comes in 3 for $24 million. So I want to start with that. What do you guys think of this move? Not only you, not only Alec, but all of our listeners as well. 877-881-8. Don't count that. 1053, the Frankel and Frankel injury attorney text line.
I thoroughly enjoyed the running back. He's 26 years old. He'll be 29 going into free agency, maybe 30 at that time. He ran strong for you. He picked up blocks for you. He was the perfect example of everything you wanted from that position. Did you ever have a problem with him? Like, you never had a problem.
Oh, like problem.
Vocally,
no.
He was right in line with everything you want. So,
can I ask you a question about that?
Yeah.
How much does it matter to you when the player is really outspoken about how much they want to be here? Because, like, Javonte was really outspoken about that.
Yeah, no, I mean, you knew that both sides were looking for it. Because the Cowboys definitely went. Stephen said that immediately. Into the season, he's like, we're already starting to work on a three-year deal or a multi-year deal
right
with them. And so, like, when both sides want something like that, I think it's an important thing, especially whenever you're kind of looking for more leaders amongst the group too. Yeah, he doesn't have to be a loud guy that's out there, you know, telling everybody. He's doing his work for sure. And, you know, there are other guys involved with that. So yeah, no, it does mean a lot. I think every player wants to say that because they understand that's their best deal. I also think that him saying it was, they wanted me last year.
Right.
And like this was a perfect pairing. I'm going to run for Shoddy. I like the offensive line in front of him. I think he sees the positives that are going to give him another 1,000, 1,100-yard season.
So one of the questions that comes up, and I totally get it from the 817, is he worth it? So, and this is what you always have to do with the NFL salary cap, right? It's a 3-year, $24 million deal. So what does he cost? He costs you $8 million per year. But not really, right? My guess is, I haven't seen the specific breakdown yet, but my guess would be he counts about $4.5 million against your cap. Like that. So that would be my question. Just take everything on a season-by-season basis. I tell you that Jamonte Williams will be on the team next year, and he will count $4.5 million against your cap. Don't you feel like most Yes. everyone is jazzed up about that?
Absolutely. And when you ask if he's worth it, go watch him run last year. He was one of the top running backs last year. He's not being paid extreme numbers. Like this is a good quality contract for a running back that played as well as he did last year. And somebody said, hey, you know, thoughts on adding Najee Harris to pair with him. Kevin, this is what I think the Cowboys' thinking is. We have a bell cow.
Right.
We don't need another guy. We don't need a Miles Sanders to pair with him.
Right.
But it'd be nice if Jaden Blue or Phil Maffo were able to take that over. But we know we can put that guy out there, and he's going to run the ball every time we ask him to.
Okay, question about that then. For some magical reason in this scenario, Miles Sanders says, I will sign for vet minimum. Do you want to bring him into camp, or do you view him as a progress stopper for the two that you just mentioned?
I'm willing to bring him into camp, but the order kind of shifts a little bit. That
okay.
makes sense?
Yeah.
And then in addition to that, like, I warned everybody early in the season of Javonte Williams. I don't want to toot my own horn here, Kevin, but I feel like I need to.
I did not think he was going to do well.
Well, not that, but we get about six games in, and I'm like, hey, there's a lot of carries going on his body right now. Do we want to continue doing this, or do we need to make sure we have somebody that can spell it a little bit? You pointed out by the end of the season he had Josh Smith a little bit, where he kind of fallen
right.
because he was a little worn down from all the carries. So
sure.
I hope that either Maffo or Blue is capable of this offseason taking the role and being like, I'm fine being a number two dude, and whenever I get my opportunities, I'm going to do exactly what I need to do to make sure this guy goes out there and gets his start, and then I'll take over from there.
You know, you brought up something that I think is really interesting, is because this contract was about equivalent to what DeAndre Swift got. Now, DeAndre Swift in the NFL has 1,069 carries, and Javonte Williams has 858.
Okay.
And so he'll be 26, like you said, when the season started, but because of injuries and because not being like a primary back kind of after that, he does have a low count, like a low snap count, for example, in terms of touches. And so you would hope that his body would be maybe a little bit less beat up than your average 26-yard running back, 26-year-old running back. I like this move.
Yeah.
I also feel like this is a no-brainer.
He was great last year on a $3 million deal.
Sure.
Like, that was awesome.
Absolutely.
This is the advance he gets for being the bell cow for the yes. next 3 years.
Now, I have to admit, for half a second, I forgot this person was even on the team, but the Cowboys also waived Logan Wilson. Given the fact that he was going to count $6.5 million against the cap, and the Cowboys could not get him on the field in an actual game because they couldn't figure out how to do it, this feels like a no-brainer,
okay,
right?
First off, it's not that they couldn't figure it out. It's that the defensive coordinator refused because my guy is Kenneth Murray, and I'm living and dying with him.
It sounds even worse when they're like, hey, there's confusion with the coaching staff. That's what they actually
totally
told us.
I'm totally with you on that.
All right. So, yeah, move on from that. All right. Got a couple of other things for you, and I want to start with this. Do you have, would you have any interest in Jalen Ramsey as one of your safeties?
Interesting.
So,
okay.
Bleacher Report threw out, you know, one trade we'd like to see every team make. And I just wanted to check with you on this because this is somebody who's been tied with the Cowboys ever since the draft 10 years ago. And look, I know he's not top end of the market or anything like that, but you look at the back half of the season with Pittsburgh, they used him at safety as opposed to cornerback. And the idea is that that might cost you a fifth or conditional sixth round pick. Does that do anything for you? Or are you like, hey, we're already missing some picks. I want to keep the ones I've got.
So he's not quite that dude anymore.
For sure.
And as far as like what ultimately it kind of I need you to describe exactly what role you want him to play. Is he going to take over for a Malik Hooker? Is he going to be your nickel guy? Is he going to be opposite Malik Hooker and be your center fielder? Because I still, Kevin, I think this draft can provide our nickel guy.
100%. Can I tell you my strategy that I know it's going to be kind of impossible to totally do this, but wouldn't you love a Cowboys free agent parade where you're like, holy cow, our team could be complete now. And then you can go into the draft and you're like, this guy's better, or we need further depth here. I know that's a long stretch with how many holes you have, but that's one of the reasons I brought Ramsey up. It's not necessarily that he's going to like plug and play, but I like the idea of like, if we had to go with this, we could do this.
Yeah, I would be okay with it. And I'll, I'll leave it at that.
That's probably the best I'm going to get, Alec. I would be okay with it. Would you also deem it acceptable?
Very acceptable. I wish the league would roll with that idea more. The guy that has lost a step at that outside corner position, he's not getting any younger, move him up top. Trayvon take some Diggs. Responsibility. Yeah, take some responsibility away from him in terms of covering that X receiver. He's still got the football IQ. I'd give it a shot.
Okay, now I'm going to move to another position unless you guys wanted to stop on anything else we've already gone through.
No, I want to do a little bit of a deeper dive on Ramsey, though.
Okay.
For my own personal
stuff. For sure. And it would be imperative on Ramsey to a certain extent to be willing to redo his contract prior to the trade, but I think we could work those things out. Now, my question, how do you feel about the Cowboys tight end room going into this season? Are you set so it's not even a conversation, or do you look to the future and say, hey, you know, Brevin Spanford, he's out of contract after this year. Luke Schoonmaker, he's out of contract this year. And start to plan ahead. Or are you like, I can plan ahead later?
We have have your starter.
You do.
And I will say, you know, if with those two guys, I'll let them play their contracts out. Brevin Spanford, I might want to go ahead and invest in for the future, though. I like him. I like him a lot. That dude will wipe somebody off the field sometimes with his blocks. Good receiver too. So I like that. You know, you have your starter Ferguson. He's a Pro Bowler, Kevin. So, he's effective.
Just take care of the football.
He's effective,
and he was badass last year. That's a big caveat.
But when it comes to special teams, you're always trying to have those bodies filled in there. So you know, keep an eye out. You don't have the draft picks to be, you know, go overdo it, but you might want to add another tight end body. I don't know, man. We got Hunter Lipke on a long-term deal, right? So,
you know, honestly, I hadn't really thought about that, and I know that they tried him out there as well.
Did we even use him?
Okay, so
sign that man.
So with old Schoonie, Ferguson, Spanford, and an emergency of Hunter Lipke, like you said, you're always looking for talent, but when it talks about tangible assets, are you okay if realistically you don't
go anywhere with tight end?
Or even like kind of look?
I'm fine with that.
Okay.
Because
you're
good.
And
that's a position I feel pretty comfortable with.
Okay.
Right now.
And that's important too, right? Like one of the things I think people kind of forget about going into free agency or going into the draft, it's not just looking at all your empty holes, but are there spots where you're like, nah, I'm good. Like, I don't need to worry about, even if it looks
quarterback.
Exactly. And, like, that's the thing. I know, I'm not trying to start a Dak discussion, but let's face it. Like, with Dak and Joe Milton, like, barring any injuries, don't you think the Cowboys are going to be like, we're set?
Yeah.
So, same thing with tight end. So, like, how many positions on this team can you look at
defensive
and go
tackle?
And go, essentially,
except for maybe, like, if you're going to re-sign Kenny Clark.
And that's
so that is a question mark.
A big part of that. And, by the way, Whenever you see people talk about how far over the cap the Cowboys are and they're counting Kenny Clark, you should move on to the next article. Because that person is not being honest with you and not telling you the truth, because that there is no guaranteed money on that. So don't worry about that. If they bring him back, it will be on an altered deal. We think probably closer to 10 to 12 million. But don't worry about that, because you can let him walk out the door tomorrow and whoop, $20 million gone. And you don't have any dead money on that.
Center and guard?
I think
Tyler Smith's your left guard.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Unless
Booker's your right guard.
He's not, right? That's the only thing. Like, yeah. Okay. I'm not arguing with you that he needs to go to left tackle. It just doesn't kind of feel like there's like a little something there that's not like 100% locked in.
Yes.
So
I was saying it in the hope that you would be like, yes, no, it is. And then we could convince ourselves that everything's fine there and we don't have to worry about it. But Kevin, that's not how the Cowboys operate.
Yeah, I mean,
they want us to be uncomfortable.
Pretty much. From the 214, you're not going to kick the tires on Pitts. Exactly. There is no world in which I'm interested in that, because you know how the market works. And I do not want the Cowboys wasting their time on players who are not going to fit here from a monetary standpoint and don't even have an immediate position to play. Because you're not going to, because fine, you want to put Pitts out there ahead of Ferguson? Then what the hell did you do that contract for? Mm-hmm. So, no, me personally, unless he calls me and says, I'm ready to work on vet minimum, then I'm going to move on with my life.
I like it.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets. Which MLB teams, managers, and front offices are under the most pressure this season? Next on The Fan.
High fly ball, deep right field, can zone back, looking up, see ya. A 3-run home run for Stanton. He goes the other way, and the Yankees lead 4-0.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. Freaking love them. They helped me out at my house. It's time for Baseball Nuggets. See, Alec, I'm conflicted. Because we need Corey as part of this segment. But I think also our audience would be blessed if he did the song the entire time.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, I know. It is indeed a conundrum. So
you want me to do that?
Oh yeah, you can
like
pre-record
it. Pre-record it.
Yes, and that's what Alec goes to every time. Actually, I kind of do. So, is there a team manager, kind of front office, maybe you think it's in combination, that is under the most pressure this season, keeping in mind it is not the Rangers.
Rangers. It's not the Skip Rangers. Schumacher.
What pressure is he under?
Win or else.
Or else what?
Saw what happened to the last coach that didn't win.
He retired? Or he finished his contract and left?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, are you saying they fired Bruce Bochy?
No,
is that what you're saying?
No. I do think there is a certain level of pressure on Skip Schumacher, though, but that's obviously from him first.
Sure.
And then I think there's going to be some expectations. But, man, can you imagine going and taking over a job after Bruce Bochy, who in his first year with the club won a World Series?
Yeah. Do you think that should be our first question to Skip? Now, our last first-year manager, he won a World Series.
Yeah. What's your plan?
Yeah.
I think we did ask him that. We were like, hey, what's your follow-up to that? He was just like, you know, that's the hope too.
Yeah, as it should be. So
I think the Yankees are always under tons of pressure.
Okay. Now, and that is the audio that we played, so that makes sense. Jason Stark, he picked the brain of managers, executives, coaches, and scouts. And the Yankees are on that list, but they're only fourth.
Okay.
Now, the people ahead of them, this won't surprise you. Bryce Harper and the Phillies core group.
He's not elite anymore.
I mean, and this one is interesting because this one doesn't go after the manager. We will get to some managers, but this one says Bryce Harper and the Phillies core group, 18 votes. You could see that, right? Here's one rival executive. They're getting older. They've run these guys out there. They've spent the money. Now it's showtime. And that doesn't even factor in, like you said, everything with the Bryce Harper.
And I mean, I know, man, I was looking earlier. John Heyman posted a list of the starting pitchers that are still available. And I was like, dang, this is a really good list.
But if we sign one more starting pitcher, Bobby is going to kill everybody and be like, get a batter!
Are there batters out there?
I don't know. I didn't see the list.
Yeah.
I would assume yes.
I have a pitching list, okay?
Okay.
All right. By the way, did you see the news on the Mavericks? Like, their flight's stuck in Indiana. The Brooklyn flight is stuck in Atlanta.
Oh, yeah, because of the snowstorm and stuff?
I don't know if the game's going to get played, Kevin.
Oh.
But,
well,
yeah, the money has been spent in the past on Philly.
Yeah.
They're an old team now, for sure. And that money has not paid off, and they're just like, do we just keep funneling money into this thing or not? They still have a good core. Nothing truly elite. Schwarber was awesome last year.
Sure.
Like, he was so... And again, I've wanted Schwarber for years because for two reasons. I'm told he's a fantastic teammate, and every time I turn the TV on in a big moment, it seems like he's the one at the plate. So they do need to step into this thing and show that they built it correctly, but I don't know if they can.
Now, next on the list is the Mets, which shouldn't surprise you because it feels like every other day the Mets owner gives a quote about how much of a bummer it is that they haven't won, even though he spent all of the money. And he went out of his way to be like, I spent just as much money as the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
It's really disappointing that we haven't won. Feels like he says that every two or three days.
You cannot afford to have a back-to-back seasons without a postseason appearance with one of the highest payrolls.
Yeah, there you go.
And not have ramifications. That's right. That's where they are in that.
Next on the list, AJ Preller and the Padres front office. My thought about this is, are they? Because I feel like we have this discussion every year, and then the Padres don't get to the ultimate place they want to be, and they're like, well, let's just try again, and nothing really
Preller's
happened.
Interesting. I don't know what his current status is with the Padres, but he's interesting because of the way that he does it.
Remember, he just got that extension.
Oh, that's right.
Last
that's right.
Week.
Okay.
Last week?
His approach is fascinating to me. It's like, let's just throw everything at it at the deadline. Screw everything right. else. We're doing it, guys.
True.
We're going for it. And then still they fall short, and I don't get it either. But I guess when you're trying to compete with the Dodgers all the time, that's tough.
Yeah.
That is a lot of pressure on you.
Do you think they sit down and ask for his view at the trade deadline or going into the offseason? He's like, what do you want to do? And he says, anything, all of it.
Yeah.
And that's just his response. And then Aaron Judge and the Yankees players come in there because the last time they won a World Series was 2009, and I'm sorry for the exercise I'm going to run through. I hope you understand why I list our team on there. Since 2009, the Cubs, Astros, Rangers, Nationals, and Royals have all won World Series, but not the Yankees. Aaron Judge is certainly, at worst, the second best player in all of baseball, and they haven't won anything. And I feel like because of their championship pedigree, isn't that how all Yankees players get judged?
Yeah.
Not trying to be clever.
Yeah, I mean, Aaron Judge is fantastic. He's a great player. They continually put a team around him. Like, it's not like they just – their pitching is, in my opinion, left a little bit to be desired. But they've continually tried to make sure they have bats that surround him.
And in previous playoffs – he took a lot of the burden. Maybe not this last one, though.
He didn't show up to be the perennial all-star. You know, he didn't show up as an MVP in those. This last one he did, they fell short because the Blue Jays are amazing and the Dodgers exist.
Man, have you seen those side-by-side photos of how close the Blue Jays were to winning the World Series and how close the men's hockey team for Canada was to win the gold medal? And yet, they won neither. Not one single vote came in for the Rangers front office or manager.
Good.
And only one vote came in for the Rangers roster and core group of players. So like I said, I mean, I know we have all got hopefully hopes and expectations, but the rest of baseball is like, meh.
I don't know that I have that much pressure on this group. I don't have much expectation.
the lack of pressure.
My expectation is that the pitching will be good. If the pitching's not good, I'll be severely let down.
Okay.
But I don't have, because I don't have a clue what this batting order can do.
Sure. That's fair.
I mean, we'll get into it at some point with the Rangers, but Corey Seager doesn't even have a hit.
Okay. What? Come on. It's been three games.
And if Corey Seager's not hitting, what are we even?
Okay.
I
will agree with that logic. I don't know if we need to use what's happened thus far. Okay. Because I know what you're going to make me be like, and Jacob DeGrom hasn't even thrown.
Stop it. Evan Carter, over.
I know what you're doing.
Smith already in middle season form.
Actually, he has.
When will
hit.
The decline hit?
Okay, jeez, Louise. Can we do a segment? Probably better this week and not when we're in surprise. But I'll leave that up to you. Corey's worst case scenario, and you can already just start running through all these things that haven't started happening. Now let's talk about George Springer. He wore a Team USA jersey at Blue Jays practice, which I thought was funny because it's a Canadian team, even though I think they only have one Canadian player on the team, who's Vladimir Guerrero Jr. But first of all, that's a funny bit. Paul Skeens talked about how he was watching it and it was awesome. And he said, it's pretty cool. And he goes, that's what we're walking into when it comes to wanting to win the World Baseball Classic. And then
I like that.
I do too. And then there's Shohei Ohtani.
I've heard of him.
Remember, Shohei Ohtani is not going to pitch in the World Baseball Classic.
Unless he does.
You know what? Tell me this quote doesn't say unless he does. Because remember how we ruled out Mike Trout because of insurance reasons. And they were like, are you sure you can't pitch? And he goes, hard to say that. But if Mike Trout shows up, it's tempting. So, like, obviously, I don't think that's going to happen. But such an iconic moment from the last World Baseball Classic to go with Corey's general idea of like, yeah, but if it happens.
Dude, it was one of my favorite moments in baseball, and it wasn't an MLB game.
Sure.
Like, this is a it was a classic World Baseball game,
yes,
if you will. And how often, you'll never get that, because Mike Trout's not going to be in the playoffs. That team doesn't want to win.
We're going to talk about that.
Yeah, this is like, it was awesome, because getting the best hitter and one of the most amazing players on the planet paired up in a situation where it's all on the line. I know the U.S. didn't win that one, but it was still awesome. So I'd love to see it happen again. Next great combination.
I got clickbaited over the weekend because it said, did the Mariners just add a future Hall of Famer to their infield? And I was like, what? And it was because Ichiro was out there fielding ground balls at spring training. But he's not coming back. But it worked.
You'd take Ichiro right now, though, wouldn't you?
Man. He could have a better batting average than people in this lineup for sure. And then the Guardians agreed to a minor league deal with Rhys Hoskins. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's shift our focus entirely to the Rangers. Who is the Rangers player you think has the most to prove in spring training? And does Corey Majors think it's Corey Seager? Next on The Fan.